Hello and welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. Today I might have a little echo in my background, meaning a tiny human, because she's eating her meat. So she's got her ground beef, her noodles, and her beets. But on the other side, you'll hear Danica. Hello, love. How are you?
Hello. Good. I'm doing good. It makes me miss my little one. Who's not next to me.
Yeah. This is our normal setup where I sit here at the kitchen counter and she's on top of. We actually had to boost her up because she could touch the counter with her feet, so she would push herself back.
Oh.
Yeah, that was not good. And so far, so good. She can do it if we don't have her tray on, we just try to make it not be able to touch her feet. Her feet touch the ground. And soon we're gonna have to go to like a regular, real seating arrangement, like our dining room table. But anyway, so that's my life. How are you doing today?
That is a very busy day. Just for Monday, and I think people are the gym gets more busy as the climate changes. And so just doing that, the fitness instructor stuff, and as they are, I just smile and nod. I'm
like,
I understand you're upset, but I can't turn
M&M
off the music.
So let's get into what you want to talk about today.
Yeah, so we've kind of dabbled in eating disorders or disordered eating, and I feel like we've talked about that before, but I don't know what I was, looking up on YouTube, but I was watching videos. I think it was one of Kara Corey's, and, her update, and then, for some reason, this next video came up that must have been, a similar topic, but it was about diabulimia, and it was labeled the worst eating disorder. Individuals with type 1 diabetes. She's making fart noises.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. And individuals with type 1 or type 2 diabetes that also have this fear of gaining weight. So they are manipulating their insulin dosage or their medication in order to not gain weight. So essentially, they're not controlling their diabetes. And they are using their diabetes to help them lose weight, which does happen. So insulin pretty much opens your cells to make, it's the key to unlock your cells, allow all of the absorption of nutrients to come in and for your body to metabolize in an effective way. So when you don't have that, when you take that away, your body essentially can lose everything. It doesn't absorb any of the nutrients that you're taking in, will lose weight. Not absorbing anything. But at the same time, you are at elevated blood sugar levels, and elevated blood sugar levels can cause a plethora of. I kind of researched a little bit, and as many as 35% of adult women and men with type 1 diabetes will fall into an eating disorder or disordered eating at some point in their lifetime. That's crazy, but I understand it. And then the change from a male because of the positive behavior. So I guess the thing that really is triggering to me is that this is such, maybe it's not new, or maybe I just haven't really researched it that much, but it's a rare kind of combo, and it needs to be taken care of. And it's fucking scary because you're killing yourself in two different ways. So you're fast-pacing your death. So a lot of the time, type 1 diabetes is diagnosed during adolescence. But as young as 3 years old, and I was diagnosed when I was 11, but most individuals between 15 are diagnosed. And that's also this time frame where you're going through your adolescence, you're hitting puberty, you're developing, you're kind of lost in your own skin, you have a hormone surge, and then on top of that, you're given this life-threatening disease, and you're told to shift like all of your eating patterns and behaviors and calculate and focus on food. And prior to being diagnosed, typically you've been without insulin, so you've probably dropped weight. So once you start administering insulin back into your body in order to become healthy and to manage your newfound diabetes, you gain a bunch of weight really fast. So that's like a scary combo because you're in adolescence, you're gonna gain weight really fast, and then your whole life changes because you have to kind of focus on food in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder why eating disorders happen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it, but I don't remember as a diabetic being diagnosed, anybody helping me or talking about that, or like I figured that shit out for myself. And I don't ever remember. I remember thinking it's really easy to not take my insulin and to just lose weight. I never did it. I never dabbled in that because I also really don't want kidney failure, to lose my eyesight, to lose my extremities through nerve damage, and to die. Like I kind of wanted to live. So those things kept me from doing that. But it's just scary to know that this is, like, I guess it's like feeding ground for disordered eating thoughts or body image services to come about. And is there anything put into place that could help people through that as they're being diagnosed? And I don't know if there is, but I would love to research that more and talk to people more about it because it's there, but it's not really talked about. Anorexia is talked about, binge eating disorders talked about, bulimia is talked about. A lot of people have diabetes, we just don't know it because we don't wear it on our forehead. And they probably also have disordered eating or an actual full-blown eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it in type 2 as well, or was this study just shown of type 1?
It is in type 2 as well, because they can have elevated blood sugars, obviously, if they don't take their medication, or usually type 2, you can control a diet and exercise alone. But, and potentially, if you don't, as a type 2 diabetic, and I could be wrong on this, but if you don't take your medication, your blood sugars are only going to stay elevated. It's going to worsen your condition, and then you would have to start taking insulin. So you're not going to develop into type 1 diabetic that's dependent on insulin injections as opposed to like a different pill that you would take.
Mm-hmm.
So from your psychology background, how would you be able to see that this is happening? Like, what are some things that you, from what you've known, from being someone who has diabetes and someone who has information and understanding of disordered eating patterns, that would be an awareness of that?
I think that as hard as it would be to separate the two, you kind of have to. Like, you have to see how is the management of the diabetes going and how is their relationship with food. Mm-hmm. And then put both of those together. Like, is one correlating with the other? Or are they just not interested enough to know how to manage their diabetes? Or are they just making poor food? So one could be a diabetic, take their insulin, but not really know, like they can miscalculate often and not be as educated and have disordered eating, right? Like they can binge a lot, miscalculate their insulin doses. But when they're not taking care of their diabetes, and they're afraid to take their insulin, I think that's a key component to this, where they're afraid to inject themselves with insulin because of the fear of gaining weight, because they think that by taking my insulin I'm gonna gain weight, then that's like a red flag. Also, the management of it being the last is not like really elevated, and if their A1C is, you know, at a scary level, but there's not a concern about that. This is so tricky because you could be anorexic, you could not eat, and you're not taking as much insulin, you're not really eating that much, but you still need insulin. So then, are they correlating with one another, or is it because you just don't eat, that you think you don't need insulin? I think it would be take both of them separately, and then see what parts of those kind of correspond with one another to be able to have that diagnosis. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I actually have a question that's along these lines, but different. Mm-hmm. Kind of, we know, or some people know this, but sometimes in bodybuilding, the untested leagues, they take insulin, and they don't need to take insulin for diabetes. So do you think that that could also be a little bit of a road to this? Because they're literally have a disordered eating pattern because they want to get bigger, so they're using this drug so that they can eat more or
push more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's just abusing it.
Right.
That's just abuse. And it's interesting because it is like in the opposite way that most people think of the eating disorder. Like most people think that people are concerned about dropping weight as opposed to gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, I think, an interesting topic on itself, because you probably can have, I'm sure you can have, like, body dysmorphic disorder when you don't see yourself as big as you actually are. And then when you're actually eating stuff, make it so you can gain weight. Is that disordered eating, or is that more of just abuse of a drug?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's so controversial because, like, one would say, well, we produce it. It's natural.
Yeah.
But if it's natural, then why do you need to, like, if your pancreas is producing enough insulin, why do you need to take more, you know?
Yeah. And that's where I was kind of leaning towards, like, putting it into the bodybuilding world as well. It's an interesting slope.
Yeah. Because I know people that do that, and there's a part of me that as a diabetic, I'm like, that's my drug. Like, it's alive.
I don't live. Like, that keeps me alive.
Yeah. That's my drug. That's it.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's not fair. Like, save that for the people who don't produce it.
It's like supposedly Kim Kardashian's butt really is that big. You don't need implants. You don't need pump pads.
Right. Save that for the fat asses of the world.
Right. Jeez. Stop taking my sunshine or my insulin. Literally. let's say I'm a friend of someone who might have an eating disorder. What are some tips that you have for people to communicate with them efficiently?
I think that most people are afraid of the how, like, how do I do this? And then the outcome, like the fear of losing them as a friend. But you could save somebody's life, right? So you might lose them as a friend initially. They should save their life for the long run, and I've learned to be okay with that, like, to take on they're probably going to deny it initially. They might get really upset with you, but when you bring to the surface something, it's out there, right? Now, whether they want to talk about it or not, I can know it's a secret. So I think a sense of concern. I know that what I have done in the past is just tell my app. I've also learned this, like, as a social worker and as a family of supporter, I need to be okay with saying the things that are kind of scary. So me being okay with being like, do you have a plan? Do you want to fix your life? And, like, just straight up saying it. And then, do you have a plan? And exploring it. So I think that it's okay, it's scary, but it's okay to say to somebody, hey, so that you have an eating disorder. And they're probably going to know, or why? Why are you doing that? There's two things that I'm noticing, and you've been showing each other about that, and whatever it is that are the red flags for you. and then kind of exploring it a little bit and sitting in that uncomfortable feeling, because it could be, like, you could definitely get a conversation going and then have them recognize that they're not alone. And that, oh shit, my secret is out, my dad can't talk about this because it's definitely apparent. Instead of, like, you have an eating disorder. You're not going in and reprimanding. You're just saying, I have some secret. And I kind of wish that was, like, I wish somebody did that for me when I was going through it. I was able to, like, take a step out of my body and, like, often talk to myself, which is cool, I guess, would have been cool still to have, but I guess somebody, like, just came to me and be like, hey, I see some red flags, here they are. Like, I was like, oh, and be okay with it. So I've done that. I think that if people remember, Jessica was my client and we have her on here, and I, like, tipped her around the bush a lot, but then when she started to hurt me and I started to see more and more red flags, and then I saw the pain in her parents' eyes, I just called it out how it was. Like, I just said, you know, you're lying to a lot of people. You're lying to me as your coach and as your friend. You are past her hurting. You're clearly in tears right now. You are, you know, mistreating the people that respect you and appreciate you. Like, you're not showing respect and appreciation for them either. And essentially, you're only lying to yourself at the end of the day. So either you want us to help you or not. Like, either I'm on here or not. And I figured out that he hurt, that really mad at me initially, but then she completely came around and apologized. But I didn't need the apology. I just needed her to recognize it. And then, I mean, now she was on our podcast and she's done amazing things, and she's been able to really, you know, go through that help and see things through. But I think it took that initial, like, oh, this feels uncomfortable in my stomach to even say this, but I'm going to say it put out there because nobody else is going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, I mean, not to generalize that feeling at all, but when you have that feeling in your stomach for anything, you should just do it. Like, yeah. Whether it's a goal and you're like, oh, I'm really scared about posting this blog. I remember when I first was writing my blogs and I was really scared about doing it because I didn't want to, you know, write it and have grammar errors, spelling errors, whatever. And I was really nervous, but the moment you did it and you said it, it was like a release. You definitely felt better. Yeah. And I agree with just relationships with friends or not. The more you don't say something, the more it festers and you're not giving. I said this to a friend of mine the other day. You're not giving that other person the fair shot of saying what they actually want or need. You're just assuming for them.
Right.
And, you know, maybe this person, like you as little Danica, was like, wanted someone to say that. And she wouldn't have been, like, you might have been a little bit like, ah, shit. Like, because now you're embarrassed that you got called out and right. You're hurt from it. But in the end, you're like, I just wanted that. I just wanted someone to you know, notice.
Yeah, and most of the time, I think that, you know, people struggling with an eating disorder or even addiction, because their hand is, I mean, they go hand-in-hand, and their behavior is very similar. But I think that there are these little, like, moments that they're reaching out for help, and they're waiting for somebody to just call them out on their bullshit. Not that, like, I mean, it is kind of bullshit. Like, it's not healthy for you. It's not a good behavior for yourself. But I think that, you know, a lot of the times people are going to give you that opportunity, and it's just the observers around them to take advantage of that opportunity, even though it's that uncomfortable feeling. I've done it with a person here. Everybody was talking. Like, everybody was saying, oh my God, have you seen someone? Have you seen someone? Oh my God. And I was like, what's this? Like, everybody's just going to talk about her. Nothing, like you said, giving her that opportunity. I saw her in the parking lot and I said, hey, how are you doing? And she was like, oh, like, caught off guard because I haven't really talked to her. And she's like, okay. And I was like, are you okay? Like, are you actually arguing. Very friendly all the time, and you drop weight very fast. And you didn't want to talk about it. I said, well, I just want you to know, here if you need anything. And I definitely, I'm seeing things that make me feel a little uncomfortable, and I want you to know I'm here if you need.
When it comes down to it, we're pack animals, as I look at one of my packs right here that just wants a squeaky toy. And it's control, right, whatever, or numbness, like addictions could be numbing. Eating disorders could be control of their life. But really, it's, those things happen when you don't feel connected to people or a thing or a reason to live, I guess. And some people could be other people to be connected to. But when you show you care, I think that really does help people, like you said, feel connected and know that like it's not their secret, that someone's actually like looking out for them.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And especially nowadays, we've talked about the shifts in the fitness industry and social media and its influences. And, you know, I just think that, and it's more the food, and it's maybe that's the decades that we're in right now, plastic everywhere. And the thing about this is you can't change the body. Like, you can't, like, change the body that you have. Like, it's just one body. Like, you're in it. That's the one you were given. And you gotta take care of it. And you can't do without food. So when it changed, like, the decades of, like, do the drugs, you could take away the drug. You know what I mean? Like, you have to live where the drug wasn't your livelihood. Food, it's a part of our life, and it's how we live. Mm-hmm. You need it, you can't just get rid of it. Get rid of alcohol and get rid of crack cocaine. But I think it makes it a little more difficult with the decades that we're in. And I just see it often. And it's scary because it's more mental, more of an everyday struggle. And then just reading up on like and diabetes, obviously that hits home for me, but there are probably so many people out there, not just diabetics, but there are probably so many people out there that we don't know what's going on in their world. And if we could, it would be a really cool, like, social experiment, I guess, if, like, I stood at the door for, like, a week and just had, like, talk 30 minutes of my time to each member that walked through the door and asked them about themselves and what are their struggles and where are their minds at and what emotions are they feeling at that moment and what is their purpose of why they just stepped into the gym. I would want to hear, oh, because I'm feeling good and I'm loving myself, and sad is that I don't think that it would be
No. It'd be, I have a show coming up, I have an event, I have an ex-girlfriend that I want to make them eat his words.
Right. Revenge body
fun. Right. Yeah, maybe, you know, people will start getting annoyed with everything being so outward looking. You know, you see some people who are over it on Instagram already. I'm not that I am a person that's over it, but I'm not a big person on like, hey, your body is hot, that means I need to follow you.
Right.
If you have like a workout you do that's interesting, like, okay, or a piece of advice, then yes. But I don't just follow someone because they're hot. Even guys, maybe that's just because I just don't care. We as humans have never had to deal with this. We've had to deal with tigers that are, you know, running in trying to eat us, but we've never dealt with the social media, the internet. Our brains actually aren't really made to understand computers and the internet and all that stuff, as in emotionally. Yeah. It's hard. We're learning how to understand it. An interesting world that we're living in, time that we're living in. So hopefully we can start to figure it out more before little fart mouth up there gets to be older.
I know. I read, there's a podcast that I listened to that really kind of relates to this, but it is talking about the power of onlyness, and that it just takes one person, and you don't have to be like a CEO or a rich person or whatever. You don't have to be of a high caliber in order to make change. It just takes one person, one idea, and then kind of you build a community around it, and then you continue to progress to that community, and with the growth of the community, the growth of that idea, that thought, and then it progresses humanity at the same time. And it takes some time to evolve, but I think that's, you know, where our shift happens. I can see it happening a little bit. And you're right, before I hope and pray that we have a positive swing with our little ones as they kind of grow into their own self. And then we can just be, we can be like the people that, when they talk about like Woodstock and stuff like that, we can be like, back in the day, when Cisco was around, hashtag advocacy, you know, hashtag Cisco, hashtag Motivation Monday,
hashtag booties for days,
hashtag teaching, hashtag cleaning.
Oh, shit. You can still tag those things and still have like something to say, maybe. Let's say that. Nice. Excellent. So that was actually a good just whole topic. So we started with a certain thing that's going on, and but really just want you to understand if you're someone on either side of the fence. I know if you're someone who maybe has a disorder, it might be harder to be like, hi, I need help. Which, if they need help, Danica, what are some steps that you that they should do?
Taking that first step is really hard. The great thing about an online community is that there are people that are going through the same feelings of you. This is positive about Instagram, is that, you know, if you just hashtag recovery easy, then you're going to find other people that are might be able to talk and just feel the community. I do think that it's important, though, to seek professional help. And it could just be primary care physician. And then from there, they give referrals and finding somebody that you can connect with. And I think it's always good to talk to somebody that's outside of your everyday world perspective. Local hospitals always have support groups, which are great. You can go there too. And then if you did want to go on like the National Eating Disorder website, they have great resources too. And I can give you a link on here. But they have really good resources for individuals. And then, you know, just from like a friendly, if you're a listener and you want to chit chat, you know, you're always my background in the body image services, and you definitely help people progress in a healthy direction when it comes to that stuff. And I would love to chat with anybody if they needed, if they just wanted somebody to talk to.
Thanks. And if you're the person on the other side, just, like we said before, show them that you care. And don't be an asshole about it. Be caring and compassionate. And that's how you could change someone's life. Like, what if that person that has a bad day and takes that next step to, you know, do something serious to themselves or other people, that you could be, like Tom said, be someone's sweetheart or their champion.
Right.
And it could just be that, hi, how are you doing? I just noticed that you're not doing well. You got a baby that makes fart noises in the background. Are you trying to be serious? So, you're ruining the whole thing.
Oh, wow. That's my new thing.
That's not Dada. Anything else you want to add on this?
No, I think that people should, you know, be able to reflect on you with yourself and kind of know if, like, are there areas of you that you'd like to progress, and no matter what your age is or what you're doing in life, you can always kind of self-check with a history. And then just know that you're not alone. Like, everybody has their ups and downs
in
life. So you're never just alone in your own kind of battle.
It's a true statement. Excellent. So we will, let's see, do our thing that you're happy for or you're thankful for today.
Now, I am thankful for momhood when it comes to let's lighten up a little bit.
Yes.
I have no fear of poop any longer. So, just because you can't, when you change shitty diapers every day, poop becomes just a part of life. And it always has been, but now it's even more so. Today, for instance, Ravenna decided to poop just a little small bit, let it roll on the floor. And I was like,
but I think I posted the other day about how I took her diaper off before her bath, and she was just standing there and peed, and it was first time for me, and then she, not even, like, within seconds, she slipped in it and, like, face first into it, like, full split, face, oh my god, it was hilarious, and I'm trying not to laugh, because I'm dying, obviously, I'm literally, what am I thankful for today? I feel like, so Belle's first birthday will be on Friday, and her birthday party's on Saturday, and I feel like I have a lot to do, meaning it's just stuff to get ready for it, and I've only, like, cleaned the house and touched up some little things here and there, but I'm, like, at, like, a weird piece today about it. Like, I feel like I'm doing well and I'm ahead of the game, but I'm really not at all. I still have to go get the food. I've got decorations. That's all I've got.
You're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
It's not until Saturday.
Right. But, yeah. So, that's my thing, is I feel pretty at peace about what's good. We have to do, but now she's just still being crazy. So, excellent. Well, you can reach us at championchat360@gmail.com, and you can follow us at championchat360 on Instagram, and you can follow us, our group, at championchat360 forum on Facebook, which is a free group though. It's just the listeners. So, and yeah, we'll talk to you guys in a week or two, or next week. Well, yeah, we'll have some funness. Some fun people on. So, yeah. All right. We hope you have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.